Perfect. Thank you. So, guys, I want to start by saying welcome to Engage Church. I know that many of you here, as I've said, you're here to witness a decision by a loved one to be baptized. And I want to say we are so glad that each of you came today, and especially to support them as they make the public proclamation that Jesus is their Savior. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for changing whatever you normally do on Sunday, whether it's another church or what you do, to be here today. They're going to remember this day, and they're going to remember your presence here today, that you were here to support this. We've been going through a series as a church. We've been asking the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And we're answering that not based on opinion, but we're answering it based on Jesus' own words. And his word so far that we have covered is, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today Jesus says something so incredibly personal. And we'll dive into why it's personal. But today he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you find your spot to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, please. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. It will be on the overhead if you do not have your Bible. I will give you just a second to find your way there. John chapter 15. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, what does it say? You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's a lot. We're going to break that down a little bit. I'm going to start by sharing some context, some background, and some insight with you. Why Jesus says, I am the vine, and what it meant. And so I want you to just picture with me, this happens on the night of the Last Supper. So the disciples and Jesus have just finished the Last Supper, where we get our communion from, and they are walking by night to the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? They are on a journey. They are making a transition. And along the path, on the way there, Jesus begins to teach them. And he teaches them by using the image of a vine and branches. He may have even pointed as they were walking to the vineyards, to his right or to his left as he spoke. And what we need to understand today, Jesus was not speaking in metaphor. This was not just a metaphor. What he was doing was urging, with a final urge, with a final conversation with his disciples, that he knew that the cross was on the way. We know that Jesus knew the cross was on the way, and he was preparing his disciples to stay faithful to him, even when he was no longer with them. So Jesus was bringing some importance to the words that he was saying. And in using the terminology of the vine, by using that picture, Jesus tapped into a powerful and a familiar symbol. Israel itself, God called my vine, my vineyard. In the Old Testament, they were referred to multiple times as God's vineyard. Passages like Psalms chapter 80, passages like Isaiah chapter 5. And those two chapters, it describes how God planted Israel with a purpose, with care, with intentionality. But then the nation failed to produce the fruit he desired. Now Jesus, on this road to Gethsemane, he makes a bold and deeply theological statement. He says, "I am the true vine." Now listen, for the Israelites of that day, do you understand how controversial this statement would have been? Because they have known themselves as God's vineyard. And then Jesus, on the way to where he gets arrested, he says, "I am the true vine. It is me. It is not Israel. It is me. It's not the law. It's not tradition." He says to him, "If you want life, you must abide in me." I hope you're hearing that this morning. If you want life, you must abide in Christ Jesus. Because he says, "I am the true vine." Now, this isn't a teaching about earning salvation. This has nothing to do with about earning salvation. Instead, it's about discipleship. It's about discipleship. We don't just exist to claim Jesus, but have no life fruit of showing Jesus. So Jesus is drawing a line here. He's drawing a line between the false connection and abiding in him. Who knows? There's a difference. There's a difference. And so a fruitful life is not produced through effort, but through relationship. Isn't a relationship a lot easier to build when it's two-way versus just a one-way, putting in all the effort, not getting anything in return, right? The Father is the gardener. He is the vine dresser. He lovingly prunes every healthy branch so it can thrive. You know that you prune trees to keep them healthy, right? That's what you do. Yesterday, I had John's pole saw. I was cutting all the overgrowth off of our trees in the backyard because they were just drooping down and dropping all the junk. So we cut them off. We trimmed them. And the idea is that the tree continues to grow. It's just not going to go grow branches that are going to be in our way. And so we prune the tree because we care. God prunes you because he cares and he loves you. So when we look at that, life, whether it be our growth and our fruit, guess what? They all flow from Jesus. They all flow out of Jesus. And to be cut off from him, what happens to a tree branch when you cut it off the tree? It dies. The leaves eventually wither, they fall off, the branch has no life because it has no way to tap in to what gave it life because it has been severed. That is what this is saying. So God will cut off the branches that bear no fruit, and to be cut off from him is to mean you are withering. It means you are dying. And to remain in him, guess what that means? That means to live fully. If you want life, and you want life abundantly, what do we tap into? The vine. We tap into Jesus. So which brings me to my first point this morning. Jesus is the only source of life. Jesus is the only source of life. Jesus tells his disciples that I am the true vine, and they are the branches. And that means that he is only source of spiritual life. It is not in another way that you find spiritual life. It is through Christ alone. Not religion, not effort, not our good behavior, not works. You can't try hard enough. It is real life comes from staying connected to Jesus. So if you need a dose of real life this morning, try to tap in to the vine. And when you stay connected to him, your life will change. Who can testify this morning that when you stay connected to Christ, your life radically changes? Come on, right? All around the room. When there is no fruit, what does he do? He trims that branch. And so what we want is we want to see fruit. Things like love, peace, patience. In fact, if you look at the book of Galatians, it describes it as the fruit of the, does anybody know? Spirit. It is fruit of the Spirit. Not something that we force. It's not something that can be faked. It is something that grows naturally when we let God lead our life. Fruit does not come out of your hard work. Fruit comes by tapping into Christ Jesus. God the Father is the vine dresser. He expects growth. He expects to see growth. And then when there is no fruit, He removes the branch. Listen, that should be a warning. That is not a threat. That is a warning. That is a warning because some people may look like they are connected, but they have stopped drawing life from Jesus. They have severed themselves. Their fruit stopped growing and their faith has faded. Listen, we're not looking for a fake connection. We want to be tapped in to the vine. But if you are growing, if there is real fruit in your life, guess what? The gardener still does something. He still does something. He prunes. He cuts. He removes anything that is holding you back from more. He will prune you. It might be sin. It might be that you got comfortable. It might be something that you like that is keeping you from knowing God better. Who knows that we can put things before God on an everyday basis. So it could be things that He puts in front of us, and He knows that we need to get rid of it to grow closer to Him. And listen, pruning hurts. Pruning is not designed to be comfortable. It is meant to stretch us and to grow us. But what we need to understand, it is not punishment. The vine dresser does not dress the vine that he does not care about. He dresses the vine of what he loves. Ephesians 5:9 tells us the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. That is the kind of life that God wants for you. He doesn't want shallow religion. He doesn't want going to church on that matters nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. But real fruit shows other people Jesus in your life. Jesus is not interested in people who look the part but have nothing growing. Let me repeat that. Jesus is not interested in people who look the part but have nothing growing. As he said in Matthew chapter 7, you will recognize them by their fruit. You will recognize them by your fruit, or they will recognize you by your fruit. What is your fruit? Here's the question. What kind of fruit are you growing in your life? What kind of fruit is growing in your life? Is there something that maybe you need to let God trim? Is there something that needs pruned so you can find yourself growing a little bit more and producing a little bit more fruit? Our second point this morning is staying close to Jesus makes all the difference. Staying close to Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus tells his disciples to remain in him. Why? Because he is the vine. They are the branches. The disciples are not the vine. They are the branches. And just like a branch cannot survive or grow fruit unless it stays connected, we ourselves cannot grow spiritually unless we stay close to Him. It's a great spot to say amen if you agree this morning. Following Jesus is not about a moment. Listen, for those of you getting baptized this morning, as I told you in our baptism class, this is utterly worthless if you do not have faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? This is utterly worthless. It is not about a moment. It is not about a memory. It is about a relationship. So by baptism this morning, we are declaring publicly faith in Christ Jesus that He is the Lord and Savior of my life. Listen, that relationship is going to do one of two things. That relationship is either going to go stronger or it's going to grow weaker. Does a tree ever quit producing branches? The ones in our yard haven't quit. Every year there's new ones sprouting out all over the tree. You're either growing stronger or you're growing weaker. You might want to write this down. You cannot drift and expect to thrive in a relationship with Jesus. You cannot drift and expect to thrive in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. If we focus on our relationship with Jesus, he says, I will reciprocate. I will be in you as you are in me. This is not automatic. Just because you have proclaimed Christ as your Savior, just because you've gotten baptized at some point in time in your life, listen, it takes work. It is a daily choice to choose to go after Jesus every day. Every day. We have to choose whether we're going to tap into the vine or if we're going to try to do life on our own. If we stay close to Him, we draw our strength from Him, just like a branch draws its strength from the tree. His Word begins to guide our decisions. So how do we stay close to Jesus? By being in the Word of God. If you need to know more about God, if you need to know more about Jesus, it's in this. It's not in whatever it is. It's right here. And so when we let His Word guide our decisions, our prayers, guess what? Our prayers become more honest. They become more raw before the Lord. Our love becomes more real. And Jesus begins to shape how we speak. He begins to shape how we think. He begins to shape how we live. All of a sudden on a Sunday afternoon, you might find yourself dumping 20 bottles of Bud Light down the drain because Jesus said, leave it alone, Mike. You're done. That's what growth is. I just bought the pack of Bud Light, and next day Jesus says, dump it down the drain. Don't give it to somebody else because that's the nice thing to do. No, dump it down the drain because I am more important in your life than this alcohol is. This is what growth is. It might be painful. It might cost you something. But listen, Galatians 5:25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if anything in our life keeps us from being in step with the Word of God, what should we do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it so the Word of God, so we can be in step with the Spirit. That means that we stay in rhythm with Him. We are in constant communion and relationship with Him. We're not rushing ahead and say, Jesus, catch up if you can. We're not falling behind saying, slow down, I'm not ready. It means that we are walking closely with Jesus day by day by day by day. But Jesus also gives us a warning. If someone does not remain in Him, what does He say? They dry up. They dry up. They'll wither. They'll die. That branch is no longer alive. It has been disconnected from the source of life. And if it stays disconnected, guess what? It gets thrown away. Jesus is not trying to scare us. He is simply showing us what happens when people walk away from the only one who gives life. Who are you getting your life from today? First John 5:12, it says, whoever has the Son of life, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And this is as clear as it gets. You either stay connected to Jesus and you live, or you drift and eventually wither. Listen, it is much better for you if you stay connected to Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? Thank you. Here's the question. Are you staying close to Jesus today? Are you staying close to Jesus today, or are you coasting on a past moment? Are you coasting on a past memory? Or are you choosing daily to walk with Him? Or do you find yourself not making that decision anymore, and now you find yourself slowly drifting further and further and further away? A third point this morning. Fruit grows when you stay connected. Who knows that you can cut one branch off of one tree and cut a spot in the other tree and you can graft that branch into the tree? Has anyone heard about grafting? You can take a limb and add it to a tree, and that limb will grow, it will thrive. And Jesus says that when we remain in Him and let His word remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. He's not saying, this is, I remember hearing that verse as a child, and I was like, I want to be a spaceman. I wanted to be an astronaut. And so my prayer was, hey, I want to be a spaceman. Make me a spaceman. Because that's what I wanted. And the Word of God just said that whatever I ask, whatever I wish, He'll give it to me. Let's bring some clarity to that, because that's not at all what that means. He is not saying here to treat prayer like a wish list. What He is saying is that the closer we get to Him, the closer we stay to Him, the more our hearts will start to line up with His. When our heart lines up with His, we start praying prayers that align with His heart. What is His heart? That no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. God does not desire anybody to die separate from Him. And if that is His heart, should that not be the heart of every Christian who claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And when that happens, our prayers become more powerful because they reflect what He wants, not what we want. Prayer is not about getting our way. Did you know that prayer is actually about growing closer to God? For all of you that are married in here this morning, listen, if you never speak to your spouse, how's that marriage going to go? It's not going to work, is it? If you never communicate with each other, how do you expect to grow closer together? The same thing is true in our relationship with God. The less time we spend in prayer, the less time that we spend in His Word, the less time that we are in conversation with Him, the more that we begin to drift away. So instead, we want to go further and closer, and then all of a sudden, the more we begin to want exactly what it is that He wants. We want none to perish. We want all to come to repentance. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, to reiterate and to be clear, that does not mean that God gives us everything we ask for. That's simply not what it means. It means that He reshapes our desires so we want the things that please Him. It is far better to be in His plan for our life than to be in our plan that runs off the road, hits the guardrail, and crashes down the side of the mountain because we're trying to do things ourselves. Instead, come into a relationship with Him. Jesus also says, remain in my love. This is not just about feeling loved. It's not about, oh, Jesus, I get to feel that love. It's about living in a way that responds to His love. It's living in a way that is responsive to His love. He says that if we love Him, we will what? We will obey Him. And did you know that love and obedience go together? You cannot say that you love Jesus and then ignore what He tells you. Let me say that again. You cannot say you love Jesus and then ignore what He tells you. 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. It is not a burden to keep His commandments. So in other words, what this is saying is that when you really love Him, obedience doesn't feel like a heavy load. Today's culture has told us to obey or to submit is a bad thing. I'm here to submit to you today that obedience is the best thing that you can do, because when we are obedient to Him, it is a natural response to someone who gave everything for you. What did He give you? He gave you His body on a cross to pay for your sins, to wash you white as snow, to make it so you could approach the Father, that you could walk past the veil of the temple and say, Lord, here I am. You have access to the Father today because Jesus stretched His arms and said, I will die willingly for my people. So obedience doesn't feel so hard when it's to the person who literally gave you everything. So So how do you know if you're really staying connected? This is a test that each one of us can do. Do you see fruit? Do you see the fruit of God in your life? Do you see it developing? Do you see Him working things out? Do you see yourself beginning to want more of what the Lord has for you? Do you pray with trust and expectation? Do you obey? Not because you're trying to earn love. Listen, this has nothing to do with earning love, but it's because you are already loved. Our obedience flows not because we're scared, but because He loves us so much. No matter how dumb and stupid I am and the mistakes that I've made, He said, Mike, I have a place for you, and it is in My kingdom. I died for you. That means that I get to come to the Father without anything besides the blood of Jesus Christ, and He has made me reconciled. So the obedience flows because He loved me so much. Love between Alicia and I means nothing when it comes to the love of God in our life, because He loved me more than she could ever love me. He loves her more than I could ever love her. And same is true of your spouse. God loves you so much that He gave His life as a ransom in place for you. It is once and for all, not to be repeated, because it was final. Because when Jesus gave up His spirit, what did He say? It is finished. Come on. So our obedience flows out of His love for us because we know that we are already loved. So here's the question. Is your relationship with Jesus changing what you want? Is it changing how you pray? And is it changing how you live? If no, you need to ask yourself, am I connected to the vine? Are you connected to the vine this morning? Next slide, please. Jesus made it clear, He is the vine. We are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser. In some versions it says the Father is the gardener. But in this case it's vine dresser. Real life, lasting change, and spiritual fruit. Guess what? They only come by staying connected to Him. You cannot do any of that on your own. And there's some of you here today, and I fully believe this because, well, there's visitors here, and there's bound to be somebody here. There's somebody here today that you've been trying to live a spiritual life without the real connection to the one you need to be connected to, Christ Jesus. That's why you feel dry. That's why you're in here this morning and you feel distant from the Lord. That's why life is not working, because you are not connected to the vine. Others of you here today, you are connected. But lately, the pruning has been quite painful. Let me remind you, He only prunes what He loves. He only prunes what He loves. And so if He is pruning you, it's because He loves you and He sees the potential of growth in you. He prunes what He loves, but He only prunes what has that potential to grow. Those of you, next slide please, Brent. Those of you that are getting baptized this morning, would you please dismiss yourself and go get prepared for that. Listen, our mission as a church here is engaging our community for Jesus. In this passage from John chapter 15, it shows us how we do that. It is by staying connected to Jesus. We grow in Him, we bear fruit, and we live lives that do what? We live lives that point others back to Him. Our life has to point others to Him. And did you know that that's what today's about? That's what baptism is all about. Before we celebrate those getting baptized this morning, I want to ask each of you a personal question. If you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just talking to everybody here because I don't know everybody's situation. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning. If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If I'm not, I'm not. You'll know because the Spirit of God will tug on your heart. Are you connected to Jesus? Are you connected to Jesus? Not just, do you believe He exists? Not just, I attend church. But is your life being continually shaped by Him? Is His love flowing in and through you today? If not, listen, today is the perfect day to begin. What a better day to begin than on a day that six people say, I'm stepping into this public relationship with Christ. Here's the good news, church. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You do not have to be right. You don't have to earn it. Jesus just says, come to me. He says, come as you are. All you have to do is say yes. Jesus Christ gave everything for you. And today, I believe that he's calling somebody in here home. If that's you, with every head bow, every eye closed, if that is you this morning and you would like to respond and you would like to say, I want to receive Jesus' grace and presence in my life, would you just at this moment just raise your hand? Let me see you raise your hand and put it back down. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Is there anybody else who would be so bold this morning? There is nothing better. Amen. Guys, this morning we're gonna pray a quick prayer together. And I just want to tell you, it has nothing to do with the prayer that we're about to say. It's about the intention of our heart. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And so right now this prayer is just designed for us to confess and to believe. And so we had two individuals raise their hand this morning to say, I'm ready to step into that relationship. So church, as one body, would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I want to be connected to you. I believe that you died and you rose again. This morning, I turn from my old life and I trust you to lead me. Help me follow you every day. Change me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. There was two people who raised their hand this morning. So church, today we've seen from John 15 that Jesus is the true vine. He is our source of life. He is our growth. He is our fruit. He invites us to remain in him, not just to believe in him, but to stay connected to him every single day. And now we get to celebrate those who have made that decision. Baptism, what we're about to see here. Baptism is a public declaration that says, I belong to Jesus. I've been made new, and I'm staying connected to the vine because Jesus said, I am the vine. And so in a brief moment, you're going to witness those baptisms this morning. But first, I need to step out and go get ready with those that are being baptized. While we prepare, this is where worship picks back up. Our worship team, they're going to lead you. They are fired up just like I am this morning. And I want to encourage you this morning. This is your opportunity to lean in. This is your opportunity to thank Jesus for the very life and breath in your lungs today. It's to thank him for the life that he's given you. And if you just made the decision to follow him, listen, this time is for you. This time is for you. Worship with all of your heart. So I'll be back in a few moments in the tank here for baptism. But guys, let's stand to our feet and let's go into a moment of worship together. To introduce Kaylee McKee. What's really cool, how many years has it been? How long have you and Tyler been married?
Officially married 12.
Officially married 12. 12 years ago, I officiated Tyler and Kaylee's wedding. And so this is really cool, full circle for me to be able to baptize you. So Kaylee, I just said your name, but introduce yourself again, and then I want to hear, what is something the Lord has done for you, or what is your favorite Bible verse?
Okay, I'm Kaylee McKee. Most of you out there know me from church way back in the day at Union Mills, but I won't give a list of all the things God's done because it's a long one, but Hebrews 11:1 is my favorite Bible verse, and it is faith in the... I wrote it down because I knew I was going to do this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. So, Kaylee, you've decided to get baptized today. Does that mean that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Okay. Can I, Alicia, come hold this, please? Maybe on that side.
So go ahead and put right arm. Or no, your right arm. We went through this in class. Go ahead and stand up here. Kaylee, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I broke that, but that's... So next, I'll just let you introduce yourself. So she's going to introduce herself. This is a big moment. Share your favorite verse or something that the Lord has done for you.
Do I have to hold it?
No, I'll hold it.
My name's Sydney. My favorite verse is Psalm 147:3, and it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds."
Wonderful. And has the Lord done that for you? Amen. Amen. Sydney, by the confession of your mouth, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Sydney, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful. All right, I'm going to let you do the same thing as your sister. Share your name, either something the Lord has done for you or your favorite Bible verse.
My name is Mallory. My favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans and give you a hope and a future.
Amen. Amen. Mallory, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes.
Mallory, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Family, we'll do the same for you. Share your name, something that the Lord has done for you, or your favorite Bible verse.
My name is Bentley. My favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Good job. Great job. Bentley, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Bentley, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
smile for Dad. Aubrey, I'm going to do the same thing. Introduce yourself and then share what is something the Lord has done in your life or your favorite Bible verse.
I'm Aubrey, and my favorite Bible verse is Romans 6:23. It says, "The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ."
Amen. Amen. Aubrey, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. She answered in the affirmative. Aubrey, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Last but certainly not least, Hudson, I'm going to let you tell everyone your full name and then share either something that the Lord has done in your life or your favorite Bible verse.
My name's Hudson Finn, and Jesus has forgave me of my sins, and he has always provided for me.
Amen. Can anyone else attest to that in their life? Come on. Amen. Hudson, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Hudson, by the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At this time, if you please stand to your feet, we're going to go back into a time of worship. We're going to go get dried off and ready to present those in front of you who have been baptized.
Cross of salvation was only the star. I was made for more.
Amen. That's so true that we do not have to make a bed in shame, that when there's a fountain of grace running our way, we know we are made for more through Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So because of that victory we have through Christ, let's just sing this song. There's new names written down in glory. We have six, right, baptisms that were everybody celebrating that they have chosen to live for Christ. We get to celebrate that today. Amen?
I would like to present to you our new brothers and sisters in Christ through baptism this morning. They have each been made new. Oops. I have certificates of baptism. You know, there's all these fancy envelopes and I never put them in. So you can put it in there and open it if you would like to see what it is. I have a certificate of baptism for each one today so they can remember this moment in time in their life when they stood in front of their church family and said, "I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And guys, here's what I want to do before we get into that song. If you are a leader here, if you are a friend, or if you are family, would you come to the front right now and lay your hands on whoever it is that you would like to lay hands on. We are going to pray over them together. That's all right. There's plenty of room at the altar. Come on up. And if you're still in your seat and you would just like to reach your hand forward, do so as we get ready to cover them in prayer. We are going to pray for their journey. We're going to pray that they would stay connected to the vine, that they would bear fruit that lasts a lifetime, because they are connected to the true vine, which is Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you today for each person that is represented here. Lord, we thank you for these six individuals who stood up today and said, I'm going to proclaim in front of my family and friends that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you right now for saving each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in their life. Lord, we thank you that you're drawing them closer even now in this moment. Lord, as they are surrounded by friends and family, Lord, I pray that you are touching the hearts of those that are up here, that you're touching the hearts of extended family that may not be here. Lord, that they would become a light to those around them. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would guide them. Lord, that you would fill them with the presence of your Holy Spirit and let their lives overflow with fruit. Lord Jesus, we pray that there would be fruit abundant, evident in each one of their lives. Let this be a moment that they remember, Lord, but not the beginning of a life that bears much fruit for your glory. Lord, that they would remember that this is the moment. It wasn't something they did just to check off to say they were saved. Lord, it's something they did to proclaim that you are the most important thing in their life. Lord Jesus, would you come and be present as we celebrate and we sing with these six new believers. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you don't go to your seats, you just stay put. All right? You can all sing from where you are. You too, Ryan.
Give past my